Good morning. It is good to be in God's house and such a blessing to serve Him. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Psalms, the 13th chapter. I'd like to ask you to stand if you're able as I read from God's Word. Psalm chapter 13. Today we're looking at turning your pain into praise. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart all the day? How long will my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Enlighten my eyes, or I will sleep the sleep of death. And my enemy will say, I have overcome him. And my adversaries will rejoice when I am shaken. But I have trusted in your loving kindness. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we are so thankful for the reading of your word. And God, we pray today that we will all learn a lesson from David's life, that, Lord, we will always look to you for every instance and every occurrence in this life, dear God. And, Father, we pray that as we have read these words, that we will apply them to our hearts, that we will feed on your word, Lord, and grow. That, Lord, we need to trust to have more faith in you each and every day. That we need to be more joyful, dear God, even in bad circumstances. And, Father, as I preach this message, let every word come from you through your Holy Spirit and nothing from my own self, Lord. And we give you the honor, the glory, and the praise. It's in Jesus' name we ask. Amen. You may be seated. Now, before I get into this, If you've read enough and heard enough about David, y'all know what David was like. David, a lot of days of his life, David was on the mountaintop, and just within a matter of minutes, David could be down here in the valley, and then he'd be back on the mountaintop, and then he'd be back down in the valley. I think David had the yo-yo effect in his life. There's a lot of people who are like that, up and down, up and down. Now, David was a man after God's own heart. And we can look at David's life, and I bet we could find things about David's character that maybe we could look at ourselves and say, you know what? I've been through that in my life. I was talking with somebody about a week or two ago. We were talking about David, and we were talking about how good God really does bless us even when we have sinned, because as I was talking with this friend of mine, I said, isn't it amazing? Because David was a man after God's own heart. And I said, but David did one of the most unthinkable things. He looks out one day and he sees Bathsheba bathing, and he is tempted in the flesh. Basically, adultery set in. He wanted her. So he sent for her to be brought to him, and he slept with her and got her pregnant. And get this, I said, and Bathsheba, you know, she had a husband. His name's Uriah. And he was a part of David's army. And eventually, David sent Uriah out and had him. He was basically killed. He was put on the front lines and killed. And then David had a son with Bathsheba. And I said, can you imagine? When you think of that, you would think, how could somebody do that? But you know what? Every single one of us go through situations and occurrences in our life. And just like David, I mean, now David repented of his sins. And this is what we have to understand. When David repented of his sins and asked God for forgiveness, that's exactly what God did. But so anyway, I don't want to get into two separate sermons this morning, so I'll back off of that. But what I want to get into this morning is turning your pain into praise. Now, when we look at David's problem this morning, it was David, he was honestly lamenting before God. David begins with a raw cry of, how long? How long? It exposed three different levels of his distress. First, there's a spiritual struggle going on, and a lot of you and I can identify with having some sort of spiritual struggle. It's a sense of divine abandonment. David felt forgotten, as if God is hiding his face from him. Now, how many of you can associate with that? Oh, God's left me. I'm in a situation and nobody else knows about it. Nobody knows what pain and suffering I'm going through. Here I am all alone and by myself. Nobody cares. Not even God. Oh, I'll gladly point the finger right here. I can't tell you how many times I've sat around, oh, woe is me. And then I'd call somebody and tell them my problem just so they'd feel sorry with me. And then before long, I felt like we were in an episode of Hee Haw, because we're all sitting around going, gloom, despair, and agony on me. And this is kind of what David's going through at this point in his life. David's having a spiritual struggle. And what causes us to get into a spiritual struggle? It's when we take our eyes off of God in a situation. It's when we learn to start looking at ourselves. We rely on ourselves, or we rely on other people too much to try and get us out of a situation. Have you ever gotten into a bad pickle and then you try to get yourself out of it? You get this idea and you think, oh, that's it. This sounds perfect. And then you try to go forward with the great idea that you had, and only to find yourself digging a much deeper hole. Anybody can associate with that too? I don't see many hands going up here. Well, maybe we just need to have an altar call. So David, he's out here having problems, and he's looking to himself to solve them. He's turned his eyes away from God, and that's what happens to you and I. That's why he is feeling like God's not even there. It's because he has gotten out of right fellowship with the Lord, and he has literally walked away. And when we walk away from God, we're going to feel disconnected. Now, thank God that through his son, Jesus Christ, when we do walk away, when we wander, Jesus says he will go after the one to bring them back into the fold. So I want to encourage you this morning, always go to God first when you're going through a difficult situation in life. Now, the next struggle, it was internal. Mental and emotional turmoil. David wrestled with his own thoughts and experiences daily, and it was sorrow in his heart. David was wrestling with his own thoughts and experiences. Can anybody relate to that too? Man, this is probably going to hit home with a lot of us. So when you start thinking in your own terms, that's where we get into trouble. That's why we've got the Word of God, that we're supposed to read it, study it, and follow it to a T, and we are not to separate ourselves from it. We are not to turn to people in the world who don't know Christ, and then you ask them, well, what should I do about this? How many of you ever called 15 to 20 people about your problem and you got all these different answers, and then you're sitting there going, well, what do I do? This person said this, that one said that, and then you sit there and worry and brood over your situation, and it leads to a mental breakdown. And it will make you sick to your stomach, literally. It will cause health problems. And I'm going to say this, I'm not being judgmental. I'm not being hard on. So please don't go out of here saying, well, Brother Jim was just mean this morning when he said that. I'm not. But there are times, because I walked in those shoes. I let my troubles get a hold of me to the point that early in life that I went to the doctor and said, I'm going crazy. I need medicine to calm me down. And what I needed was I needed to get my head out of the clouds, and I needed to get my heart connected with God, and I needed to quit relying on everybody else's answers that didn't know anything about a relationship with Jesus Christ. And this is what I want to say. Find yourself good, godly, and I mean an honest Christian person, whether it be in your family or a friend or your church family, that you can talk to, because God, I believe God does. That's what we're here for in fellowship. We can reach out to one another when we are struggling, but you find somebody who is rooted in the Word of God. Don't find somebody who reads Dear Abby. Dear Abby does not give good sound advice. And don't trust anybody. There's people who will go to psychics. They're trying to get all these answers, but you're never going to find the right answers until you turn to God first. So that's why David's mental struggles and the turmoil inside of him had gotten to the point that it had, was because he was relying on sources of the flesh and the things of this world to get him through day by day. And it brought such a deep sorrow to the heart. Now, I can imagine that a lot of us have felt a deep sorrow in our hearts before, and it doesn't feel good. I've been there. And that's why we need to release everything in our hearts to God the Father, and we need to trust Him by faith to take care of all the issues of our heart. Now, there is an external struggle. Social or circumstantial pressure. David's enemies appear to have the upper hand, and they are exalting themselves over him. Now, when I think about David's enemies, I think about when he went out before Goliath. Here he is, just a little shepherd boy, maybe 15, 16 years old, never battle trained. But everybody else was afraid of Goliath. But little David, man, he comes up and says, well, I'm not afraid of the Philistine giant. But now here David's in a point now where just his regular enemy, he's gotten so disconnected from God. And now people are making fun of him. They're saying a lot of negative things, probably threatened his life. I know he probably had his life threatened a whole lot. But now David feels like that they're like the walls are closing in on him. Like the pressure is too great. And he's at a point now where he cannot handle it. And I want to tell you this. Satan is going to do that, and he's going to use any person, he's going to use any situation that he can to try and tear you apart. And this sermon goes so well in line with a lot of us in our lives today. We let Satan get a foothold. Satan, man, he'll be beating on your life's door, and he's wanting to come in. And too many times people open that door, and you've heard it say, if you give the devil an inch, he'll take a mile. If he can get his foot in the door of your life or into the door of your soul, he cannot get into a Christian's life any other way that you let him in. And if you let him in, and if you let him take place in your heart and you let him rule your life, he will eventually bring you down. But by trusting in Jesus Christ, you can fight that. See, God has given us a power through his son Jesus. We've got the Holy Spirit. So when the devil comes knocking at your door, don't answer it. Don't give him the time of day. Now, I'm not going to get into it, but I had a situation yesterday that
I believe was presented to me that I should have really been a good, more of a total effective witness, and I shouldn't have let some situations really get a hold of me. And I had to go upstairs and pray this morning. See, I told you, I'm human just like everybody else. And I have feelings and emotions, and I go through things. And sometimes I let God have victory, and other times I try to figure it out myself. And yesterday was one of them days that I tried to take care of it all on my own instead of praying about it. And today I was kind of aggravated, but I took care of it. I went to prayer with the Lord. And this situation, I'm just going to give it to God. But see, that's what happens. If I had continued to stew on what happened yesterday and into tomorrow, I would have probably told 1,500 to 2,000 people, and I would have recounted what happened and what was said and done, and it would have made me more of an emotional wreck. And I would have no close fellowship with God, and I would slowly distance myself from the Lord in my walk with Him. But I got up there this morning, and I prayed because I had to bring myself back to God. And I'm going to tell you this. If you will abide with the Lord and you will stay with Him, the devil's not going to stick around. He may come at you and try. But if the devil sees that you are tight with God, I guarantee you he's not going to try to... See, he wants to go after the ones that are easy to get a hold of. And that's the ones who are not walking with him. Now, there was a petition. It was a bold prayer. Instead of turning away from God in his frustration, David turned to him with three specific requests. One, that God would consider and answer him. It was a plea for God to pay attention and provide a response, moving from perceived silence to active engagement. And I guarantee you a lot of us have been there. Man, you're on your knees and you're praying and you're just saying, God, please answer me. Now, I've heard this said many times this way. When you're in the middle of a test, sometimes the teacher is silent because the teacher doesn't want no talking during the test. And I'm sure Laura and Mike and Terry, I'm sure they've had many times tell people during a test, you be quiet. But a lot of times during a test, the teacher is quiet. And I think maybe the quiet sometimes can really get to us. But I want to offer up something to you this morning. When you're in those quiet moments, when you're in distress, do you ever just turn away from what you're dealing with and turn your heart to God and just praise Him and thank Him for what you have already? Do you ever thank God that He's given you breath in your lungs? And Father, you gave me breath in my lungs, so let me take that breath now and turn it around and use it to praise you instead of creating this negative environment that I've got myself into. And it's okay to say that. It's okay. I mean, let me back. It's okay to say this. God, I need you to answer me. God, I really want my prayers answered because I pray over my family and some friends to get saved. And I ask God, please, Lord, answer my prayers. I pray for healing for people, and I say this because I want to see them well and healed. I say, God, please heal these people, and I trust Him to do it. It's all right to ask God for these things because God wants us to come boldly before His throne, and God wants us to ask Him of these things because God wants to give us the desires of our heart, but God also wants us to come to Him boldly. God doesn't want you to stay away from Him. We act like God's going to hit us with a lightning rod if we come. But through Jesus Christ, we can approach the throne. And that's what I was preaching about a few weeks ago. When the veil of the temple was ripped at Jesus' crucifixion, that was making the opening that we could approach God, that we could talk to God and have the right relationship and the right fellowship with Him. That we could pray. So I don't want to ever let a moment in my life go by. Now, yesterday, I wish I would have prayed a lot more. Isn't it funny how things get a hold of things get in your head and you get so aggravated, does anybody ever forget to pray? I do. But we need to ask God to be actively engaged in our lives. But more than that, we need to be actively engaged in a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to this. God will always do His part, but God expects us to do our part. And it's not, 80-20, not 80% God and 20% us. We have to give God everything. We've got to live full out for the Lord in every way in our lives. If we're going to expect God to move in us, then God expects us to be faithful to Him, to obey His word, to walk in His commandments, and to have fellowship with Him and others, and to love people. Let me move on. Light up my eyes, David asked. It was a request for spiritual and physical restoration. David fears that he is on the brink of death and he needs God's life-giving light. And I want to say this. I've witnessed to people, I've talked to people who've been in some bad situations, and I've literally had people say, I feel like this is going to kill me. I feel like this is too much for me. And when you turn to God and you ask God to pour His love, and here's the greater thing. When you start getting rid of the things that you're going through and you start giving them up to God and you leave them there, and then when you walk away, then I believe that God will definitely move in your life and He will shine His light down on you. When God sees that we are willing to trust Him with every aspect and every area of our life, then God will move. Now, God moves in His timing. I had a friend said this to me once. He said, if you would actively praise God, he said, I don't want you to be mad. I don't want you to go be negative. He said, this is what I want you to do. I want you to start praising God. I want you to sing. I want you to pray. I want you to read and study your Bible. He said, write down Bible verses and put them up in the areas of your house that you go to. And he said, I want you to start doing these things. And he said, I want you to tell me in a few weeks what kind of a difference it's made in your life. Well, I tell you what, I thank God for people that God's put in my life. I mean, because I came out of a very negative family, so I had a very negative outlook. And there's times, yes, I still have that fight. But that's one I give to the Lord. But during these times of life, when I would give time into His Word, I didn't feel like griping and complaining, and I didn't feel like that there was so much pressure upon top of me. I didn't feel like I was near death. But what I started feeling was the hand of God not pushing down on me, but I would literally in my heart feel like that God was putting His hands all around me and that He was just lifting me up almost like He was just holding me close to His side and He was just pouring His love into me. And it was in times like that I would even just get on my face and just weep before God, that I would just cry. And I tell you what, when I got done, I don't know how many of you ever felt this, but I felt so much better. And I felt like the Lord had just washed everything away. And I always heard God say this to me, my child, everything's going to be all right, but you have to keep your eyes on me. So we need to ask God to give us spiritual and physical restoration each and every day of our life. David also said, lest my enemies say, this is a motivation based on God's glory. David is concerned that his defeat would allow his enemies to rejoice and bring dishonor to God's name. Now, let me move on because we're getting short on time here. The praise, this is what I want to get into. I want to get away now from all the bad and the heavy. The praise, this is a resolved trust. In this psalm, it concludes with a dramatic shift. If you notice that David's circumstances haven't changed, but what has? His perspective. Now, you and I are going to go through bad situations. That's a given. And there's, I don't have time to name off every bad situation or circumstance we could go through in life. Know this, you and I are going to walk through some of the deepest and maybe some of the most shallow, but in this situation, David's perspective took a major shift. And let me read this to you again. Because David said, I have trusted in your loving kindness. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. So what David did, David took his eyes off of himself. David took his eyes off of his problems. He took his eyes off of everybody else and everything in the world and his enemies. And David turned his eyes to the Lord. And when he did, and he asked for that light to shine down upon him, when he got rid of the heaviness. So it's basically like this, saying, Father, I know I'm going to walk through some trials, but I know that you're with me in the trials, and I know that you're never going to leave my side. You will be with me through every one of them. Now I tell you, I could name off a lot of deep trials that I've been through in my life and maybe some others have been through, but I don't want to focus on that. Here's what I want to focus on. Like right after when I went through a really bad situation, I got up one morning and I just got before the Lord on my face and I started to sing out of a hymn book. And when I started singing to God out of the hymn book, I started to weep because as I was singing about God and singing the songs about how good God is, and it shifted my focus to Him, then I saw more of His love, and I saw more of His mercy and grace, and I saw more of how God really does care for me. Now, I told you last week, the devil doesn't like you. He doesn't like me. He doesn't like nobody. He's stupid. He's dumb. So quit giving him any part of your life. But if you turn your full attention to the Lord Jesus Christ and you just praise him and open up, you're going to feel so much better. The circumstance may not change, but your perspective certainly needs to. That means getting your eyes focused on the Lord and keeping them there. Now, I'm not even going to go into that. I'll get into another whole sermon there too. Trusting in God. David puts his faith in God's unfailing love. Now, God's unfailing love is a covenant loyalty. And I'll get on that here in just a second. He chooses to rely on God's character rather than his own feelings. I'd write that down. I mean, if you got a pen and paper, write that down. He chose to rely on God's character rather than his own feelings. Well, your own feelings aren't going to carry you through life very far. That's for sure. A lot of times my feelings never got me anywhere. But when I trusted in the Lord, when I looked to God's character and that covenant loyalty, that covenant bond that we have with Him, God's loyalty to you, when you're in a covenant relationship with God, it's a relationship that can't be broken. The devil will try to fight against it, but he can't destroy it. No man, no woman, no child can destroy it. Nothing of this world can destroy the relationship we have with God. Because God loves you so much that he sent his only begotten son into the world to die for you. And that when you accept that, you become a part of his family, so you're now in a covenant relationship. When a husband and wife are married, they have a relationship and they depend on each other. They need each other. They don't need the entire world outside of there running their marriage and their relationship. So in the same way, with our relationship with God, we need to look to his face and trust his ways instead of letting the outside world run our life for us and our Christian walk. David found joy in God's salvation. David anticipates God delivering him with a heart that rejoices in future victory as if it had already occurred. So when you're going through a valley, I want to encourage you today, don't be negative, don't be hateful, don't be mean, don't be sad, don't get all up in your own business. You turn it over to God and you say, Lord, I know I'm going through a troubling time right now, but I know you're with me. He is the lily in the valley. He is the bright in the morning star. He is my friend who sticks closer than any brother. God will never leave me. God will never forsake me. So, Lord, I'm going through this valley, and I will praise and worship you in this valley because I know that when I praise and lift and exalt you up, that, Lord, you're going to lift me up as well. And I know that when I go into a valley, there's a beginning and there's an end. So I know that there's victory. I know there's victory, Lord. And that's what we have to look at. Are we going to feel like at times we're about to get crushed or so perplexed that we can't take it? Yes. But if you start praising God and you start lifting up his name and honoring him, if we would go out and do the work that God has called us to do instead of focusing on our problems, I guarantee you our lives would be much richer. And we would feel so much better about ourselves. We really would. But when we turn to the world and we start doing things the ways of the world, that's how we're going to end up. And we're going to set ourselves up for a major defeat. A song of remembrance. David vows to sing because he remembers how God has dealt bountifully with him in the past. Remembering past goodness provides the fuel for present praise. So it's all right to go back in the past and say, oh, I remember when God blessed me here. I remember when I got saved there. I can remember all these good things that God has done. Because when you start going back and recounting every good thing that God has done, you can know that he's going to continue to do things in the future. How many of you have had experienced many answered prayers in your life? And I think hands ought to go up everywhere for that one. I told you, and I know this in my heart, I pastored some churches that, I mean, they were so dead. I don't even think you could have called it a valley of dry bones. I think the bones were dried up and gone too. They were so bad. And I used to pray and I said, God, Lord, I've tried doing the work here. Lord, I need you to put me somewhere, God, in a church. I need some people, Lord, that want to live for you. And I said, Lord, I want to be put into a church. I don't want to be in a church where they run it like a business. I don't want it to be where you see nothing but unhappiness all the time. And when I prayed and prayed and prayed, and I said, okay, Lord, you take this. I got my call that day from Effie. Can you come preach for us Sunday? I still won't forget that. My phone rang. I left Crane Funeral Home and, is this Brother Cooper? This is Effie Brimmer from Boscadale Baptist Church. I'd never heard, I kid you not, I had not heard of Boscadale Baptist Church until that time. I'd passed by, but I never paid attention to the sign. I knew Boscadale Road. But I sure am so thankful because I love my church family. And I love the relationship that I have with each and every one of you and how good you are to me. And I want to give that back to you. Yeah, we have fun and we cut up and laugh and all that, and that's good. But what I'm thankful for is the relationship that I have with my church family and just how good this place is. Do we have an $18 million building? No. Do we have chairs that cost $300 a piece? No. But you know what we got here in this church that a lot of places really are starving for? We got good people that have love in their heart. So that's what you ought to be focusing on. Some practical steps, then I'm going to close. You need to acknowledge the reality of your pain rather than denying it. That's called don't sweep the dirt under the carpet and leave it there. You know what happens when you sweep junk under a rug? You're eventually going to make it big enough you're going to start tripping over those bumps in the rug. I had somebody pretty wise. I first time I ever heard that, I thought, well, that's just goofy sounding. Well, it's awful true in life. Get the skeletons out of the closet. Basically, start telling God, this hurts. It's okay. God's not going to turn his back on you. But it's okay to tell God how bad you hurt. It's okay to tell God the loss you feel in your life, or how you felt cheated or abandoned, or everybody's turned. It's okay. You're not going to change God's mind about how much he loves you. But you have to acknowledge it and not deny it. When you acknowledge it, you're saying, I'm aware of it, but I'm also putting it, God, in your hands, and you'll take care of it. And then petition God boldly based on his promises. That means when you go to prayer to the Lord, you tell God, he hasn't forgotten, but God wants you to talk to him. So you remind God what his promises are, and then you start believing those promises, and you watch God start working in your life. Now, I'm not saying that if you're praying for a $30 million house, that's exactly what you're going to get, or that you're wanting a Rolls Royce. You ain't going. See, God's going to give us what we need according to his plan for our life. We're rich already. And I'm not saying by what's in your wallet. I got some cobwebs in my wallet. I think I've got a $20 bill in there. I'm not rich. I'm not rich on this earth, but I'm rich because of my relationship with the Lord. Amen. And then we have to resolve to trust in God's character, even when he seems silent. Can you trust God even when he seems silent? And instead of going crazy, get up and start working for the Lord. Go witness. Go serve somewhere.